Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Wednesday. And man, oh man, how cool of an ending of a game was it on Saturday? Big Joe got to witness it live at Nevada. We say hello to the head coach of the Blue Raiders, Derek Mason, who's on the line with us. Coach, you got yourself a win. Congratulations.
Chase, man, it feels good, boss. Guys went and they played. They played four quarters, 60 minutes. It wasn't drawn up like that, but I tell you what, fantastic finish. A win for the Blue Raiders, and now what we get a chance to do is get ready to come back this week for homecoming in our stadium versus Marshall and see if we can go at number two.
So I got to tell you, like, I couldn't watch it. It was on Mountain West Network, and I didn't get that, and so I'm listening to Chip and Joe and keeping up with it on my phone, and, you know, it's like, okay, you guys are in it and in it and in it, and then next thing I know, it's 14-13 at the end of the game. What did you see out of your guys on those last two drives that were able to get you guys the victory?
Well, I thought they just stayed in the fight. You know, obviously – had to be resilient, had some adversity happen, you know, early in that ball game. But defensively, we kept fighting. Offensively, man, we had opportunities. We got down to the red zone in three times, and because of penalties or miscues, you know, came away with no points. So to find ourselves late in that ball game needing to score two touchdowns to win and doing it, that you talk about confidence, you talk about being clutch, you talk about meeting adversity right in the middle of the ring and going toe-to-toe. That's what those guys did, and I think because of it, they've become a different football team.
So let me, on along those lines, you know, when we've talked to you, whether it's privately or on the air, I mean, you have said over and over again you believe this is a good football team. Does winning a game like that, being down – Is that what helps define a good football team, of finally being able to get over those humps?
It is. You know, I paid a lot of attention to Dan Campbell, you know, in Detroit. And, you know, first year to second year to third year to fourth year. And that's, you know, he just kept talking about, you know, the hardest part of what was going to have to happen was just, you know, winning and learning how to win in certain fashions, and no game is one the same. And you see this football team, and it started slow, and it's weekly gotten better. And last week was a culmination of a lot of hard work, guys finding themselves staying in the fight, and with that, finding a way to win. I mean, on the road, coming back, having to score when needed and necessary, that's team building, that's season building, that's an opportunity to push this team forward.
Talking to MTSU head football coach Derek Mason on the Chase and Big Joe show. Coach, I know we talk about Nick Vadiato all the time. When you're down 13-0, and I thought the play calling in the fourth quarter was perfect. I thought Nick's execution was perfect. I thought your line blocked well. I mean, everything went perfect for you, but you had to do it twice, and you got down there and did it. Nick Vadiato putting the team on his back like a warrior. I mean, I don't have a question here. I'm just telling you, Coach, he's a badass.
Yeah, I agree with you, Big Joe. You know, when you talk about what you want a quarterback to be, the dude was clutch. You look throughout that game, and I thought he played. I thought he made throws. I thought we had some drops early. But just to see five different targets or guys targeted in that last drive, the blocking was superb. The opportunity for guys to make plays were there, and they made plays for their quarterback. But in the end, he had to put it on his back. He found himself with zone coverage, everybody covering receivers, but nobody covering him, and so he made them pay. And I thought that was the difference in this ball game. Nick Vadiato did what needed to be done. He ran when he needed to run. He threw, you know, dimes when he needed to throw dimes, and guys made plays for him. So that was just the maturation of this group and this group leaning into one another. But Nick Vadiato's the catalyst. He's the point guard.
Oh, absolutely. I remember I had a coach in junior college, a defensive coach, is like, somehow always get to the ball, be around the ball. Juwan Gaston was around the ball, right? And anything can happen, Coach, once you get to the ball. He got two interceptions, that really clutch one there in the end zone, and he becomes Conference USA Defensive Player of the Week. That young man's got something, Coach. That was a hell of a job by him on Saturday.
It was. You know what? Juwan's got you know, A1 instincts, just still learning how to play within the system, right? And sometimes when you get you talk to players, players are about making plays, so they watch film to make plays. But when you're just doing your job sometimes, the ball will hit you in the face. He found himself in a couple of situations where he was just doing his job, right? He found himself playing zone coverage, and we were playing match on the other side. He just followed the quarterback's eyes. Quarterback led him right to the party. Sometimes when you're doing your job, ball hits you in the face. He's playing deep safety. He's playing deep safety, a hole safety at that, and the quarterback was a one-look, one-read guy. You know, he stares at it. He gets hit, you know, man, by our blitzing safety, John House, and the ball's hanging. The corner goes up. The receiver fights for the ball, but Jawan, you know, saw the throw, makes great effort to get to the ball, and tips and overthrows, got to get those. Again, just Johnny on the spot. So, you know, sometimes when you just continue to work at doing the things you're supposed to do, it's not the supernatural. It's just making the routine plays look easy, and that's what he did on Saturday.
Not saying you guys in practice haven't had a pep in the step, but what does a win do for practice leading up to the Marshall game? I got to think, everything you've talked about, when you tell the guys, look, when you execute well and you do well, we'll have success. Now they felt it. They don't see it. They felt it. Is that a big plus for you heading into the Marshall game?
It is. This idea that, you know, playing your best ball is still in front of you. I mean, we haven't done that yet. And there's an opportunity this weekend that bypass all the stuff that's in front of it. This is one of these road stops on the way to the place that we're trying to go, where, I mean, you get an opportunity to play your best ball. So we need to be able to do that. I think these guys this week, a win does a lot for you when it comes to, you know, the energy of practice. I thought practices have been good, but they've been ramped up a little bit, extra competitive, because I think guys are trying to grab whatever they can in practice to make sure we can start fast, strike early and often, and be consistent through this process, because that's what it's going to take on Saturday, consistency. Not a quarter, but four quarters of good football.
We're talking to Derek Mason, MTSU football coach. I'm curious of your thoughts on this. For whatever reason, there's kind of been recently this obsession with halftime adjustments and making all these different changes at halftime. And I know Peyton Manning said a few years ago that the only thing he did at halftime was, you know, maybe look at a couple of plays and eat apple orange slices. And there's not that's kind of a myth. So how do you go about it? Are you obviously you're adjusting as the game goes on, but at halftime, is there really time to do any kind of, you know, major adjustments within the game?
I think now the game is always constantly adjusting itself. I think with the advent of technology and iPad, you know, usage on the sideline, it makes it more pronounced. I think the halftime adjustments are really big picture. You know, what things have you seen? What things can you attack? What things are sort of hindering you? And you make those points, right? You make those points quickly, but the iPad technology allows you to go back, look at it, sort of make the messaging a little bit more succinct and concrete, instead of just, you know, thinking you now know exactly what you got to do. So I think the technology has driven adjustments to be such a driving force in how teams play in the second half.
Coach, it's homecoming, got Marshall coming to town, and I always don't like to ask this question when people say, well, homecoming, so that's a must-win game. But every game's a must-win game. You want to win every game. Yeah, homecoming's a lot of fun, right? But it's just another game on the schedule that you want to win, and you work your butt off to get that win, regardless if it's homecoming or not. At least those are my thoughts.
Yeah, you know what? I'm happy for the fan base. I'm happy for the alumni. They get a chance to, you know, come back to a place that they love, and they wanna enjoy, you know, what homecomings, give folks, just in terms of the pomp and circumstance. That's fantastic. You know, for this group, we have to continue to prepare, you know, for what's to come. Marshall's a good football team, and you know they're 1-2. They got their first win last week. They played three quarterbacks, and that's our focus, because we're going to have to defend three quarterbacks who have three different ways of playing the game. And so for us, we got to keep the main thing. The week is important. The game is important to us. So we got to continue with the preparation.
I know you obviously look at everything game to game, but, you know, with the way this Conference USA schedule works, you're going to go through a stretch where you're going to be playing some weeknight games. And so you got two more on Saturdays before you get a little bit of time off. What do you want to see from your team in those two games before you hit the bye? Then then you can look at things that you can adjust on for the second half of the season.
We got to direct ourselves, you know, getting better and finding ways to win. We found ways to come back, or where we found a way to come back in this ball game. That's one way to win a ball game. We need to find other opportunities and other ways, man, that are a little more, you know, of our liking to try to seal victory. So it starts this weekend with Marshall in homecoming. It's one of these where we need good things to happen for this squad to build the momentum that you need heading into an October that's coming. We need to finish September the way we talked about it, which is playing fast, physical, and winning ball games. So this week provides that opportunity.
Coach, it's the last home game before your birthday next week. So how about we send you out with a good birthday this weekend, huh?
You know what? If me and Nick Battiato, because our birthdays are on the same day, if we can get this one, or when we get this one, you know, it'll be an early present, and we'll keep chopping wood.
I love it, Coach. Well done.
Thank you.
Yeah, Coach.
You guys take care. Let's go Blue.
You too. Thanks, Coach. Coach Derek Mason joining us here on the program, as he does every Wednesday at 12:15. And again, the Blue Raiders will take on Marshall. It is homecoming Saturday night down at Floyd Stadium, and you can hear everything on Totally Hits 93.3. Starting at, I don't have it in front
5:30.
Of me. 5:30. Thank you.
5:30. Chip and I, actual pregame at 4:30, but Chip and I hit the air at 5:30, game at 6. How cool is that? I didn't know him and Vadiato had the same birthday.
Oh, that is cool.
Do you share your birthday, anybody famous?
I think, unfortunately, Michael Jackson and Farrah Fawcett died on my birthday. But,
oh, man.
Yeah, I feel like there's a couple.
Nancy Cartwright.
Bart Simpson? That's my birthday?
Me.
Oh, you.
If you want it to be your birthday. We're born on the 25th.
Yeah.
So we might as well see what it is. You're looking up somebody now. It's got to be one person.
Yeah, hang on. I'm looking.
Dr. Crane, what's your birthday?
Carly Simon is one.
And you're not vain.
Oh, he's dead now, but George Michael.
Same birthday?
Yeah.
So you got three really pop culture heroes. Farrah Fawcett, Michael
Ricky
Jackson.
Gervais.
Is on your same day?
Yeah. Angela Kinsey.
Oh, that's Angela from The Office.
Yeah. Jimmy Walker.
Oh, Dynamite.
Yeah. So there's a few.
I have one more.
June Lockhart.
Okay. I have the lead singer of Sawyer Brown. Dr. Crane, when's your birthday?
August the 19th. I share a birthday with now deceased Matthew Perry, John Stamos, Fat Joe,
that's
Bill Clinton.
Rude.
Oh, not you. I'm just, you know, the rapper. And Bill Clinton.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I did not have. Okay. All right, good. Nice job. Well done.
Let's see. Here's some. I just pulled up. Here's some. Now you just got me curious.
Yeah.
Benson Boone. Don't people like him?
And yeah, he was in town. He's like, he's not as good as Pat Boone, but I'll take Benson Boone.
Yeah, George Michael. That's probably would have been the most famous one. There's all these TikTok stars that I've never heard of. Like, why are they famous?
Is David James a TikTok star? Is he on there? No.
Yeah, he's
on that one.
Anthony Bourdain.
He passed away.
Yeah, the late Anthony Bourdain.
You're the last remaining guy alive on that.
Sheridan Smith.
I don't know who that is.
I don't know. But there you go. That's what we got.
All right, well done.
It is. Coming up next, I will tell you the the adventure of my morning.
Yeah.
That's basically what it was. And we'll take your calls and texts at 615-737-1025. It's our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chasing Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, 102.5 The Game.